Thank you, Lord God. Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for the word of God, which changes our lives. Changes our it's the word of God which is able to renew our soul, transforms us into the image of the kingdom of heaven right now. Not tomorrow, not later, but immediately the word of God transforms me. So, Father, we thank you. It's a seed. The word of God is a seed. And when it's on the inside of me, it's growing already. You put it in there and it's in good ground, because if we're born again, if you're born from above, you are good ground. You are good ground, and the word of God is manifesting and transforming and changing you right now. It's not something you have to do. But Father, we thank you that you are transforming and changing us through this promise and through this word. And we give you glory and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about, of course, you know, thank you for that battle hymn of the Republic. Because the gospel is all over the world. Amen. Jesus wasn't born in America. Amen. Jesus was born somewhere else. But when people were learning the gospel, and of course 1,500 years, the church had been around for 1,500 years by the time they started making this trek over here to this land, to this country, right? And so that gospel had been there, but the gospel in so many ways is touched by people, and people make things according to their liking. You ever notice that? People tend to make things according to their liking. But God wants to change you according to His liking. He wants to make you according to His liking, because His liking will be your liking. Amen? His liking will be what will change you and what will make you joyful, happy, peaceful, restful. And He will always make a new generation. Amen? I mean, you know, you were a new. I was a new generation. Luke was a new generation. Giancarlo is a new generation. He's constantly making new people, amen. And constantly. So this gospel started out, you know, in Jesus' day, and then in Paul's day, and then in Polycarp's day. Anybody know Polycarp? Polycarp's day, and Irenaeus's day, and Saint Augustine's day. Every generation came along. And the Holy Spirit was still there. That's why Jesus said it was important. Remember, we talked about that during Pentecost. It was important that the Holy Spirit show up. It was important that the Holy Spirit come. Because the Holy Spirit will bring and continue to keep the gospel in every generation. Just like He did in the Old Testament. But it was brought by the law and the prophets. And each prophet was individually anointed. And priest was individually anointed to bring the Word of God forward till the fullness of time, till Jesus was born of a virgin. But then after that, Jesus said, I'm going to send another Comforter. So He wasn't going to back up and send Moses or Joshua. Jesus was going to send another Comforter. He was going to send the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the Holy Spirit continues every generation to bring the gospel. Now we have a generation right now here in this country and all over the world, because everybody dies, don't they? Everybody comes up, they hear about life and whatever life is and brings, and then they die. But the Holy Spirit continues to bring the good news and continues to bring the gospel. He'll anoint somebody like Jeff, or He'll anoint somebody like Giancarlo to bring the gospel to somebody else, to touch somebody's life and transform and change them. And He brought this nation into existence, I believe, that to be a place where the light would shine. Now, maybe not forever, but for a period of time. First of all, it was Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, then the othermost parts of the world, where the gospel began to be. And the gospel would really, it would move around and have headquarters in various places. Now everybody wants to think now, well, it's Rome, glory to God. You know, well, maybe for a while. But then he moved it over here, where you could not have a one single denomination rule, but you would have Jesus rule. And I believe that's what brought this nation to life, is that somebody could come here and not be told, well, here's what you have to do. Because for over a thousand years, there was a doctrine, the Catholic doctrine, that was, you have to worship like this, or otherwise we'll punish you. Well, Jesus wanted to be able to share what he wanted to share from his heart through the Holy Spirit. And so I believe God brought this nation to light. Is it a Christian nation? No, it's a free nation. Is God into making Christians? No. God's into your freedom to come and hear him and receive the truth. Amen? He wants you to hear the truth. He knows who's going to receive him. He knows who's going to receive it. He doesn't determine it. You know, that's the question. Okay, what is five-point Calvinism? You know, did Jesus choose you? Well, I chose you, the rest of you can just go ahead and leave. Or y'all can stay here until you die thinking you're here. No. God said, whosoever will may come. Amen? He said, whosoever will may come. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that the ones I choose. No, he didn't say that. He said, whoever I choose. He says, many are called, few are chosen. The chosen are those who have received by faith the Lamb of God and the truth of God's program and the truth of his salvation. Because you will hear him and he will draw you. Like Giancarlo, he's already born again, but in this opportunity, God spoke to him again and drew him further. Amen? So God is doing that for you. He's doing that for every one of us. Amen? He's drawing you. He's drawing you today. He's drawing you right now. He's consistently talking to you. He hasn't kind of given you a time off. You don't have time off today. He's right with you. He's speaking to you. He's speaking to your heart. So thank God for this message, for this nation, that God opened the door and created a nation and says, everybody is free to worship. And the Texas Constitution says, every man is free to worship according to the dictates of his own conscience. So in other words, everybody, nobody can put pressure on you to have a religion of any kind. But once you've received the Lord, nobody can stop you. Amen. Nobody can stop you. I want to read a little bit of the scripture, because God does talk about government, and he talks about rulers, and he talks about what's important for us as those who are touched and affected by God and living in a nation where we are free and not bound to rule ourselves under law. We're free and not bound, and we can rule ourselves according to God's word. Amen. And we have that authority to rule. First of all, under God with the Holy Spirit, you are ruling yourself. The Holy Spirit rules you under his word. And you are self-governing. You are self-governing. So to be self-governing is not to be self-governing, but to be governed by the Holy Spirit, to be governed by God, because you cannot govern yourself. The scripture tells us that men are wicked. Men are not good. And that the Holy Spirit is the only one who can rule you. The tongue is an unruly evil. Who can tame it? All of these things. Our nature outside of God is destructive. But God came to bring us into his presence. And so in this nation, where God opened that door so that we could rule, first of all, in families, Second of all, in civil society, and create laws where men are not in charge, but laws are in charge. Men don't get to decide individually, but laws decide, that are laws that are built by the Word of God under the Ten Commandments. The reason the Ten Commandments originally had the Ten Commandments was not so you would do them, but the Ten Commandments were and the other commandments were twofold. First of all, to show you what God's holy and you're not. The second is to keep a civil society. Those things were to keep a civil society. If you're not under God, at least you're under the law. If you decide that you're not under God, that's okay. You're still under the law in this nation, in the nation of Israel, and in this nation. And our laws are built on that. Our laws were built on that. I want to read a little bit out of Nehemiah. King Cyrus was, in the book of Chronicles, King Cyrus, it was prophesied that he would rebuild the city of Jerusalem. Now, Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon came in and took them all away. You know, that's what you did back in those days. You took people out of their land and out of their society, and you just hauled them off. You know, I mean, if you're used to living in your spot, you know where all the hiding places are. You know how to guerrilla warfare when you're living there. So what they would do is, if they took over a country, they would come in and they would take everybody. From Texas to California. You know, they would just take you. And so you didn't know anything. You didn't know your way around. You didn't know anybody. So they'd just put you to work. So they hauled them off. So then finally, Babylon got defeated by the Medes and the Persians. And then the Medes and the Persians, here they are ruling, and they've got some folks who are running the show for them. They've got some folks who have come from Israel, because God raises up good people. And God raises up people who love Him and who follow Him no matter what is going on. So here we have Nehemiah, and Nehemiah is one of these. Daniel was one of those in the first generation. You remember Daniel and his brethren? We talked about them last week. You know, Daniel, of course, praying, you know, out there with the windows wide open when they told him he couldn't pray. Sounds like Coach Kennedy, doesn't it? You know, he's out there praying on the football field. Hey, Daniel, did you know they passed a law against praying? Yeah. How come you should shut your window? No, don't shut your window. Just keep praying. And the guy just kept praying. Got thrown in the lion's den. And then he got out. You know, the king was excited. The king couldn't change the law. That's funny, isn't it? That the king can't change a law because he knows Daniel's praying. But why would he make a law like that? Who knows? But he was excited when Daniel got out of that lion's den. Daniel, was God able to save you from the lion? And of course he's like, waiting for him to say something. Oh, king, live forever. Yeah, I mean, boy, that king was excited. He was so excited when Daniel did that, when Daniel shouted out, the king, live forever. God, he wasn't mad at the king. Amen. How powerful. So he wasn't mad. So here we have Nehemiah in the second generation, and Cyrus had been prophesied, said that King Cyrus is going, a guy named Cyrus, is going to rebuild God's city. So here, Nehemiah is here rebuilding the city. He commanded, he was the king's cupbearer, and so he was an official, but he wasn't a high-ranking official. He was just the guy who would drink stuff and hopefully he wouldn't die, you know, when he... Should you not walk in the fear of God because of the reproach of the nations and our enemies? In other words, you're eating up our own people. We got enough enemies without you. I also, with my brethren and my servants, lending them money and grain, please let us stop this usury. Restore now to them this day and their lands and their vineyards and their olive groves and their houses and also a hundredth part of the money and grain and new wine and the oil that you have charged them. So they said, well, amazing what they said. They said, we will do it. We will restore it. And we'll require nothing from them. We will do as you say. All right, now. He says now, the reason, interesting thing I read about this is that after serious thought, sometimes it takes serious thought for you to decide that you're going to do something. Amen? Anybody like that? There's a problem here. There is a problem here. I believe that I see a problem. I see a problem. Like Gary saw the problem. There was a problem. He did make it all the way over there to you, to talking to Jeff about a incident at the store is what I'm referring to those on the tape. So somebody let you know that there was a problem. Thank the Lord. So after serious thought, I rebuked the nobles and the elders. Man alive, listen to that. There's biblical precedent for rebuking nobles and elders. Nobles and rulers. Not elders, obviously. No, but nobles and rulers, you rebuke them. That's your job. These are citizens. And Nehemiah is just a builder. He's an administrator. He is there, but God moves him to rebuke those who are in authority. Amen? Now, I'm going to read something to you with that precedent in mind. Over in Romans chapter 13, as we read, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God, but the powers that be are ordained of God. So God put them in. It's like the law. It's like God's law. God put those things in. Whosoever therefore resists the power, or in that case the word is authority, resists the ordinance of God, the law of God, God's law. And they that resist shall receive to themselves condemnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Well, that's God's purpose. It's not always, we know that that does not always work out that way. Amen. For rulers are, by definition, rulers are a terror to, not a terror to good works, but they are a terror, frightening to evil works. Will you not then be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and you shall have praise of the same. For he is, the ruler, is the minister of God to thee for good. There's a purpose. The rulers are the minister of God to thee for good. There's his job description, right? There is the job description. Nehemiah, he went in and he rebuked the nobles, the guys with capacity, money, the ability to provide for the community, because that's what a noble did. Nobles basically owned all the land, and then they rented it out and made sure that everybody had what they needed to do. You know, Downton Abbey. I watched it. Yeah, that's what the nobles are. Earl so-and-so, and you know. So all of these guys, nobles and rulers. Rulers are the ones who are designated to rule over certain, you know, certain parts of the country and the nation. All right. So this Romans chapter 13 that we all know about says, verse 4, it says, he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God. A revenger to execute wrath upon them that doeth evil. Wherefore you must be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. In other words, because God's put it in your heart to do the same thing. For conscience. That is, God's put it in your heart to do right, do good, and not to do evil. We've read this before over in 1 Peter chapter 2. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be as king to king as supreme. Big king, big, well, I obey Joe Biden. or unto governors. No, you're going to do the governor, Greg Abbott. Or as unto them. Well, I don't like Greg Abbott. Well, it's the governor, not Greg Abbott. It's the president, not Joe Biden. Because you're not under a man, you're under law, aren't you? I said you're under law. Or unto governors, or as unto them that are sent by him, even his guys who he sends, for the punishment, his guys are sent for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that ye may with well-doing put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, you are free. Listen, under the law is to make you free. Amen? The law is not to bind you. The law of God is not even to bind you, but the law is to make you free. The laws in this nation are to make you free, not to make you bound. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak for sin or maliciousness, but as the servants of God. So your liberty and your freedom in this nation is to do one thing, preach the gospel. Amen. The reason this nation exists is to preach the gospel. Freedom is freedom to worship God. Freedom is freedom to worship the living God. That's what your freedom is. In this life, your freedom, I mean, we like to say, okay, well, you know, God made the heavens and the earth, and I'm just going to enjoy it until I'm dead. No, God made you so he could have fellowship with you. Other men decided, I think I like that tree. I'm going to eat of that tree, and I'm going to, whatever Adam and Eve did that they weren't supposed to do, I'm going to do that plus a little bit more. Because I don't want to, I want to see what's out there. I want to see what's available. I want to see if I want to serve God or not serve God. That's an option, but it's not an option. It's an option, but it's no option. Serving the world is serving the devil. Your life has only one choice. Is that to walk with God. Because if you don't walk with God, you will die. If you don't walk with God, you will die. You will not survive. You will not live eternally. You will live eternally, but you will live eternally somewhere. Either in the presence of God or in hell. You will not survive. You will live in darkness. I mean, people don't like to hear that. You know, they like to hear, you know, hey, well, if I did good, if I did pretty good, I think I'll make it. Well, God didn't say that. It's something you made up. You made up to make yourself feel good. I did it my way. You know, I knew a guy who had his funeral. That was his. Well, because you did it your way. Now, hopefully, he didn't do it that. He just has a, it was a poor. Hopefully, he just it was a poor picker of funeral songs. You know, I think he was a Presbyterian. I hope he was. Now here, so you're walking according to the law, and in this nation we have laws that God that are made according to the righteousness of God. Now most of them, but I want to tell you here. Is that when he says, and the reason we're talking about this is, you know, might as well talk about it. It's, you know, Independence Day. What do we have independence from? Tyranny. Tyranny of men. We had freedom from in this nation. Tyranny from freedom from the tyranny of men. Proverbs 25:5 says, "Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness." Interesting. Sounds like another administrator, right? Remember Haman? Remember Haman, the guy who worked for Ahasuerus? You know, Esther's husband. You know, he was the guy who was going to... Haman wanted to... He hated all the Jews. And he wanted to kill them all. So he had an agenda, and he got himself right up there next to the king so that he could figure out how he could kill all the Jews and get all their stuff, because they had a lot of money. You know, and they were there in, you know, in Medo Persia. You know, this is during the Persian kingdom. So he's in there doing all that. And so finally Esther, you know, exposes the plan somehow. Because the guy finds out she's Jewish, you know. And the queen knows everything. So here, but Haman is an administrator. He's the guy, he just works for the guy. He got hired, you know, by the king. He wasn't elected. The king's not elected either. But he was hired by the king to do administrative work. But these guys can have an agenda, can't they? But he says, take away, Proverbs 25:5, take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. Well, you've got to take a bunch of wicked. Maybe it's just not one guy. Maybe he's got a whole bunch of people who are the wicked, who are before the president, the king. Sorry. Okay, here. Now, let's look at Exodus chapter 18, when he talks about when Moses' father-in-law talks about how to bring on good rulers. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of the people able men such as what? Fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and put them over, or to be rulers over thousands and hundreds and rulers of fifties and rulers of tens. So who do you put in charge? So Jethro was talking to Moses. He's saying, here's my recommendation. You shall provide out of all the people, able men, men who know how to do things, but they fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, hating a bribe. Covetousness is a bribe, basically. So they're not lobbyists. They're not into bribery, not receiving bribe. Hey, pay me and I'll, you know, do that. Here we command in Isaiah chapter 1. He says, hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. So what do we do? What else do we do with rulers? We command them to hear the word of the Lord. Right, if you're going to write a letter to the senator, if you're going to write a letter to your congressman, if you're going to write a letter to your mayor, fill it full of scripture. Tell him this is from God. I'm calling on you as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Deuteronomy chapter 1 verse 13. Take you wise men and understanding and known among your tribes, and I will make them rulers over you. So again, you are picking those rulers. That sounds like something that you can do here in this country, doesn't it? Here in this thing. Now in China, you can't do that. In Russia, Putin's not going to let you decide who's going to be your mayor. He just decides everything, right? But here it is in your law that you pick. Problem is, you know, you got to pick. Or who runs your school board? Well, we just preach the gospel and everything will work out. Well, you know what? I think if God puts something in your hand to do, and you do it not, to you it's sin. Amen. No, it's not going to keep you from heaven, but what it does, it's not perpetuating God's plan immediately for your area, for your locality. If He's put something in your hand to do, and you kind of, I decided I didn't want to do that. No, that's right. But you want to complain. You know, let's see. I don't like my school board members. They're teaching godlessness. I don't like my rulers in my group, in my city. So I'm going to go in my closet and I'm going to pray. But that's all I'm going to do. Well, no, you got plenty you can do outside your closet. Amen. You can go tell 10 people, don't vote for that guy. Amen. Over here, Nehemiah said, I considered these things. And I went to the nobles, and I went to the rulers, and I yelled at them. Something happened. Things changed. Things changed. I went downtown. Amen. I'm going to pray for the world to be saved. Well, you know, it'd probably help if you actually told somebody about Jesus. Amen. It'd probably help. That'd probably work better. Work quicker. God said, I sent you. Behold, I send you. He didn't say, I told you to pray. He said, I send you. Amen. I send you. That's why you got legs. Otherwise, you know, why didn't God just save the world by himself and just take me home? Probably might as well. God is using you. Amen. Hallelujah. This has nothing to do with God liking you. God's not holding these sins. God's a good father. Amen. I just want you to know God's a good father. He's a loving father. You know, these are not things that are keeping you from the presence of God and keeping you from out of heaven. Amen. But could be keeping other people out. Because they're not hearing the Word of God. Because of what they're preaching from the pulpits of the word of this government and preaching from the pulpits of this nation, when you have the authority to change it, and God will lead you, and God will raise up leaders like Nehemiah, or He'll raise up leaders like you, me. No, I've got business. I've got things to do. No, you may not have things to do. John 12:42, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. See, many believed on Jesus among the chief rulers. See? Read that again. Okay. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, this is John chapter 12 in the gospel. Among the chief rulers, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. So you had a lot of folks who were of reputation, who believed on the Lord Jesus, who were part of the Pharisaical outfit, but they didn't want to say anything because they valued their position in the hierarchy. See? Amen. Praise the Lord. So God, let me be one who will confess Him, even though I'm in the high muckety mucks. You know, I was on the state executive committee for a particular party for about 10 years. And you have a lot of opportunities to keep your mouth shut if you want to keep your friends. You know? But if you're listening, if you're in that position, Jim, Pastor Jim and me both, in that position for a purpose, for religious liberty in the state, to declare these things, to work for, to sign resolutions, to write things that will change the laws and the legislation and even the rules in the state party. And you want to make those changes, and a lot of people may not like that. But that's okay. A lot of people didn't like what Jesus said, did they? But Jesus spoke up to declare the love of God and the goodness of God in the earth right now, today. That's what you and I do. That's why the Holy Spirit's in you. Holy Spirit is in you to will it. And to do it of His good pleasure. Amen? Hallelujah. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, the people mourn. It says, when the righteous are in authority, the people do what? I'll read it again. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. Now, doesn't say the righteous rejoice. Woohoo! We win. We are in authority. No, it says the people rejoice. But when the wicked are ruling, the people mourn. Isn't that true? Now listen here. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Okay, so even if you are taking part in that political process, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Well, it seems to be. I think we are. I think we're wrestling against flesh and blood. I mean, you know, these people are ugly, nasty, ugly people. You know, they're ugly, nasty Christians in politics. They don't have to be. If you walk with Jesus, you can just declare the word of the Lord, and you can get mad and talk to the nobles and the rulers. So you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, and against the rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's who you're up against. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. One thing about a Proverbs 31 woman, her husband is known in the gates. He's known downtown. He's known in the place of leadership. Amen? She's busy taking care of everything, like Janet does, takes care of everything, and then it says, he's known in the gates. He is known. That guy's known. That godly man is known downtown. Of course, in Acts chapter 1, now listen, it says, in those days when the number of disciples have multiplied, you know about all that, there was a murmuring in the administration of the Grecians against the Jews, and it's a political thing. The 12 called a multitude of the disciples to them and said, it's not reason we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, look you out among you, 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, that we may appoint over this business. Amen. So you're in the church, he said, okay, we're not even going to appoint the guys. You are. Look out, 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, full of faith, that we may appoint over this business. So you pick them out. You go find them. Amen. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. That's what Jesus said. But then he also said, you are the light of the world. Doesn't he? So you're the light of the world. He was talking to the Gentiles. He said, talking to the church, talking to the Jews. He says, the Jews were what? A light to lighten the Gentiles. So if the church stays out of politics in this world, where's the light? Where's the light? Hey, look, Norman's got a glove like mine. Praise the Lord. He's waving at me back there. Oh, way back. No, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. Amen? To declare the glory of the Lord in our nation. Thank God. Keep this nation. Let's keep, Benjamin Franklin said it. He wasn't even really a Christian. You know, what kind of government do we have? A republic, if you can keep it. But you got to ask God if you can keep it. Amen? How do you keep that? I don't even know. You know, he was the guy that brought up the fact that they couldn't get anywhere because they weren't praying. But they began to pray. And then, all of a sudden, there was a constitution that came out. A constitution of laws. My encouragement to you today is thank God for this nation, where God has given the authority to rule themselves to the people, and that authority is under God. Amen. Pastor Joel Bukenya is in the building, and he will come now. Come, brother. Amen. Thank you. Everybody thank Clay for wagging this brother to and fro. Amen. You know, I was just with this brother the other day. It was not very long ago. It wasn't even a, what? Was it a month ago? Maybe? A month ago? Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, Father, we just love you and thank you right now as we're going to receive testimony from our brother. And we thank you for this nation that he has come to visit, that it will remain a nation under God, and that you will use your people to worship God as they put their hands, a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other, even as Nehemiah, to build the wall and to protect the city for the purposes of God's glory and God's testimony, to bring people to Jesus Christ and to not let the ways of the wicked in the world overtake that testimony. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you for it. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Father, thank you that you, as we receive our brother, that you have done great things. And thank you for that testimony and the word of God which is on his heart. In Jesus' name, amen.